Ramana Yoga Sutras by Sri Krishna Bhikshu, continued from the September-October issue. Sri Ramana Maharishi wrote these sutras at the request of some devotees to benefit their sadhana. Sri Krishna Bhikshu Muruganthi Venkata Krishnaya was one of the early and ardent devotees of Bhagavan. He lived in the ashram with Bhagavan for many years and wrote Ramana Leela, The Life of Bhagavan, in Telugu. After talks on Ramana Yoga Sutras were given by Sri Krishna Bhikshu at the Ramana Satsang, Hyderabad, these sutras were published in Telugu in 1973 and then in English in 1980. We conclude in this issue with sutras 8 to 10 along with their commentaries. 8. Aham Aham Iti, as I. 1. The direct experience that comes to a sadhaka as a fruition of his endeavors is the experience of the ultimate as I. In the negative way, various descriptions have been given of this experience. As for example, it is neither light nor darkness. It gives light, so it is called the light. It is neither knowledge nor ignorance. It gives knowledge, so it is knowledge, chit. In modern language too, it is not being nor becoming, but it exists. Therefore, it is called sat. In contrast to all other things that disappear, Bhagavan calls this experience the I experience. In that state, one must have been there to experience it. It must be devoid of any other experience. Then only can it be said to be the self and nothing else. 2. Some have questioned, there being only one experience, why should Bhagavan have used two eyes, I, to describe it? One explanation is, the second I does not indicate a subsequent experience, but is used to confirm the experience. Others say, in Nirvikalpa Samadhi, you get a similar experience, but it is not continuous. Like the flash of lightning, it appears and disappears. So, two eyes are used. Finally, the experience becomes a continuous one. 3. We may add that in this experience of yoga, there is a slight tinge of individuality, and the mind can be said to exist in a very, very rarefied state called Visuddha Sattva. But in actual experience, it makes no difference. The experience is something like a throb. That is why it may be called Jnana Spanda, a throb of knowledge. 9. Brahma Mantram, only Brahman. People knowledgeable of Shastras will question whether the Atman experienced can be real, because the experience may be of only a short duration. They also say that in the texts, the Atman is said to be infinitesimally thin. Tanvi. But Bhagavan says it is big too. How is this to be reconciled? The texts themselves give the answer, which Bhagavan has also repeated. Smaller than the smallest and bigger than the biggest, says the Upanishad. The Shruti says, verily all this is Brahman. Then can there be no difference between the Atman and the Brahman? In the Atman, there is the superimposition of the manifested cosmos, which alone is apparent to you and which prevents your experiencing the Atman as Brahman. In the state of knowledge, the superimposed mental knowledge disappears, and call it whatever you will, Atman or Brahman, it alone remains without a second. As the Shruti says, Ekameva, only one, Advitidyam, no second. 10. Kevalam, only. Philosophy expounds three types of differences. Sajatiya, the difference between a horse and another horse. Vijatiya, the difference between a horse and a cow. Swagata, the difference between the hand and the foot in one's person. Bhagavan says that none of these types of differences exist in Brahman. It is like an ocean, all salt water, though not totally like an ocean, because salt exists there in a state of dissolution. There is nothing dissolved in the Atman. It is pure. This aphorism is necessary to controvert the position that Brahman is Saguna with form. Otherwise, how could a cosmos with various attributes come out of it? Bhagavan says, no, it has no attributes. It is Purna, undefiled by any admixture. It is, in Sanskrit, Ghana, not giving scope to any other thing. The ultimate is Ananda Ghana, not Anandamaya. Epilogue. These aphorisms are the very words of Sri Bhagavan. All but one of them have been taken from the first Sanskrit verse he wrote in about the year 1913, the famous Hridaya Kuhara sloka found in chapter 2 of Sri Ramana Gita. Aphorism number 4 has been taken from Ramana Gita itself, chapter 6, verse 5. Bhagavan himself gave several of the explanations. The rest has been culled from other philosophical texts, so that the author of this brochure makes no claim for originality. Nor does he claim that Bhagavan's teaching, except in one point, is original. So far as he is aware, Bhagavan's teaching and explanations are in tune with the best traditional Advaitic thought and texts.